Well, my text this morning appears three times in the chapter we read, John chapter 21. You'll find it three times. I'll take it from verse 17, but I think you'll find it in other verses there, 15 and 16. The words I want are found in verse 17. The words of Christ to Peter: "Do you love me?" Very, very simple sermon this morning. No great teaching. Just a simple question that Christ asks Peter: "Do you love me?" It's simple. There's no great depth of theology here. Although, having said that, perhaps it is the depth of theology in this question. Do you love me? Simple, but I think if I preach it right, it will be searching. Now, before we get into the text, the four words, we must, I think, be clear to whom this question is properly addressed. I notice Cowper in the hymn we've just sang has it like this: "Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me?" See, that's his take on this verse. Now, far be it from me to quarrel with William Cowper, but I do somewhat quarrel with William Cowper there. I'll explain. Christ asked this question, the Lord Jesus asked this question of Peter, did he not? Now, the circumstances are these. It's after the resurrection, after the death of Christ, of course, after the resurrection. And it seems to me, as I read the chapter, I think I can understand Peter's mind here. Remember that he has betrayed, he has denied Christ three times. That's been put right to a certain degree, but he has nevertheless three times with oaths and curses denied Christ. And the time has passed somewhat, and bearing in mind what we know the two disciples on the Emmaus road said, you remember that they said, "We had hoped that this man, this Jesus, would be the Messiah," and so on, and all their hopes have been dashed. And I wonder if Peter at this stage is wondering where it's all going. He'd been so hopeful in the past, and now it seems it's all gone, well, the modern phrase, I suppose, is pear-shaped. It's all falling apart. Nothing seems to be happening. And I detect, I might be wrong, but I think I detect, in his words when he says to the others at the beginning of the chapter, "I'm going to go fishing. I'm going back to my old ways, something I know. I'm going back to my business." And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." And then they spend all night and caught nothing and so on. Can you sort of imagine the mindset of this Peter at this moment? Now, that's the circumstances. In the morning, Christ appears on the beach, and when they get together, taking Peter apart, he asks him this question three times. I think there's significance in the three myself, bearing in mind the three denials. Do you love me? Now, I think it's fair to say, right to say, that this question is directed to Peter, and Peter is quite clear in my mind. Peter is a genuine believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not one of these people who has this idea that he can repeat the creed or whatever it is, "I believe in God." I dare say many people do believe in God. But this man has found Christ to be precious to him. I can't remember I've spoken on these verses to you, I don't think I have, but do you remember these verses? Do you remember that time when Christ, Caesarea Philippi, asked the question of his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, well, they say this, and they say that, and the other. And then Christ says, "But as for you, Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as is his wont, because he's very quick to speak, is Peter, he blurts out, "You are the Christ." If I've spoken on it before, forgive me, but what he's saying there is, all my hopes and all my dreams, all I've longed for, all I've known from the Old Testament of the coming of the great deliverer, I have found in you. This man is a true, genuine believer. He has seen in Christ all his hopes fulfilled. Again, in John chapter 6, the people were flocking in their droves, like I've seen down, I've forgotten the name of the park, flocking in their droves, they were flocking around Christ in their thousands. But Christ knew why they were coming. One, because they liked to eat the bread he provided for them. Two, they liked the miracles that he did, the healings. Three, they liked the political side of things and they wanted to make him a king. And Jesus did something quite remarkable to put a stop to all that gathering around him, all these people coming for the wrong reasons. Quite the opposite to us today. We're doing all we can, most churches are doing all they can by using those very things to get them in. Christ does the exact opposite. He does something to put a stop to it. What he does is preach in John chapter 6, this is, he preaches the most searching sermon any man could ever preach. Such that he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life, no part in me." Anyway, the crowds went away in their droves. And then Christ turns to his 12 and he says to them, "And you, will you also go away?" Now, I think myself, there's two reasons for that. One, I think he is a real man here, and I think that he feels the, although he had deliberately preached this sermon, it was hurting him to see so many turning their backs upon him. And he asks his disciples, and I think as a man, he's asking them, "Are you also going to go?" I think a second reason is he was putting them on the spot. And Peter, as always, comes up, I was going to say trumps, but he comes up and he hits it right, the nail right on the head, and his words, they ring down the centuries, and this is what he says. "Go," he says, "where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now there's a man speaking from his heart who has a genuine living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. "Where can we go? You're the only one who has the words of eternal life. We are sure," he said. "We are persuaded. We know that you are the Christ," and all the rest of it. And yet this man, I think I'm right in saying, genuine believer, has in these last few weeks denied his Lord with oaths and curses. I think he's grown frustrated and bewildered, downcast, depressed perhaps, wondering where it's all going, and all the rest of it. Because Christians, you see, genuine believers, can pass through all those and many other experiences. And I might be addressing somebody, indeed I might be one myself. We might be passing through some or all of those experiences ourselves, even as I speak. And I think it's in that context that Jesus speaks to Peter, and here is the great cure for all those ills for the believer. If the believer is guilty of sin, if the believer is guilty of backsliding, if there's a coldness to Christ, if there's a disappointment and a frustration and a sense of depression and a sense of tiredness and fatigue, whatever it may be in a spiritual sense, the cure is in the answer to this question. Do you love me? Now that's a rigmarole, isn't it? But why am I saying it? Well, where do I disagree with Cowper? Well, I'm not going to preach this text this morning. Well, preach, I'm just going to talk on it. I'm not going to talk upon this text for a few minutes, as it were, addressing my remarks to the unbeliever. Let me make myself clear. The question I ask of the unbeliever is not, do you love Christ? The scripture tells me, at least it speaks to me this way, it tells me when I address the unbeliever, it is my job not to ask them about their love for Christ, but to command them to repent and believe and trust the Christ. Then we'll talk about love for him. I'm not making a mountain out of a molehill or splitting hairs. Let me illustrate it by J.C. Ryle. You may have heard of J.C. Ryle, Bishop of Liverpool, 100 and odd years ago. Evangelical bishop. And Bishop Ryle made this point. He said, observe this. When people speak to children, you'll notice, he said, how often they ask them, do you love the Lord Jesus? And they encourage them and they talk like this about loving Christ. And Ryle was very strong upon this. And this is what he said, and I think he's dead right. Men, women, children are not justified by loving Christ. They are justified by trusting Christ. God commands sinners to repent. All men everywhere. Come unto me, all ye who labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. If my text, my purpose in this text, if I was preaching that, directing my words to unbelievers, I should be more on that issue. Do you repent? Do you believe? No, you must repent, you must believe. But I believe the text this morning is directed to the believer. Now, if you're an unbeliever in that sense, you haven't trusted Christ, you've not repented of your sins, I don't ask you to go home. Listen, please. Because you will find what Christ says to his people. I hope you will find it so challenging or encouraging or whatever it may be. It may produce such a holy longing in you that you might say, I wish I knew something of that for myself. Well, my friend, begin with repentance and faith. Peter had to do it. Peter had to do it. But it's after his repentance and faith, it's after his trust in Christ, he finds himself in this state that he's in. I think he's in a state, and Christ is going to lift him out. And in fact, we haven't time this morning, I won't go into it, he's going to commission him to a great work for him. And if you want to see the effects of that commission, turn over the pages. Well, this was quoted to the children this morning, it's in Acts chapter 2. You'll see a fisherman, that's what he was, unlearned, that's what he was, hadn't been to university, you know, got no seminary, no degree, never preached in his life before, but he stands up and he preaches a sermon and 3,000 are converted. Amazing. The secret of that is here. Christ is bringing this man and enabling by his Spirit later on to preach that. If any man would try to serve Christ, he must answer this question first. I'm speaking to myself, I assure you. Do you love me? If you want to teach in the Sunday school, if you want to play the piano or the organ, if you want to give out tracts or leaflets, if you want to do anything, clean the front, well, I've seen it going on. Whatever I do for Christ, whatever you do for Christ, the first issue is, do you love me? If so, go and serve me. You'll see Peter, if I come to that, I'm not going to get to that this morning. So I hope, I'm sure I have made myself clear. Are you a bewildered, frustrated, backsliding, cold, whatever word it is, Christian, then are you trying to serve him? Do you want to serve him? Then I have this question for you. It's the words of Christ. Do you love me? Four words, four tiny little points. It won't be long, I assure you. It may be small in preaching, but may the effect stay with us. Before I just start, an illustration comes in my mind. If I use the illustration for, forgive me, but a friend of mine, both of us are in the same boat, both of us are rather depressed about the state of the churches and the state of preaching and so on, but he said he was recently in a service and he heard a man preach on Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you then, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So I asked him how he got on. And this was his comment. The worst thing about the sermon was this. He said, now, how can anybody preach that? Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, a word to Christians, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How can anybody come out without actually being so deeply searched by that text. I mean, it must be one of the most searching texts in the Bible, to give ourselves completely to Christ. He said, the trouble with the sermon, he said, I came out and I filled it in for him. I said, you came out unscathed. And he said, yes. How is that possible? How can I come out from this text this morning without feeling touched by it, pierced by it? Do you love me? It's a harrowing question. Simple, isn't it? Do you love me? Right, let's have a look at the words. I'll start with the word love. How about that one? I'll start with the most difficult word. It's the most difficult in one way, but in the other senses it's not the most difficult. But in one way it's the most difficult. I have found it. I looked in the dictionary. I don't know if you know, but I looked in the dictionary and I still don't know what this word means. Oh, I do, but I don't. I'm sorry, that contradictory. Can you explain it? I cannot explain what the word love means. The dictionary has a go at it, and in the dictionary I looked at it, it seems to have quite a paragraph. Kindness, this, I don't know what all sorts of words pouring in, but when I'd read them all, I still didn't know, and yet I knew what love means. I mean, it's more than devotion, isn't it? I mean, what is it to love someone, to want to be with them? Do you understand what I mean when I talk about companionship as opposed to friendship? You can have a friend, you can have an acquaintance, you can have a passing acquaintance, but a companion, you have very few companions in life. This is my experience anyway. Somebody who knows what you think, who knows what you feel, who understands, because they are actually sort of more or less one with you. I have known it, but it's a rarity, isn't it? With my first wife, for example, we'd be out somewhere and we didn't have to say it's time to go. We both knew, well, I don't know how we knew, but we both knew it was time to go. There was something, well, I can't find the words, can you? There's some relationship. There's some connection. There's some union. I don't know what word I want. Do you love me? Am I uppermost in your thoughts? Are you thinking of me? Do you want to talk with me? Do you want to walk with me? Do you want to know me? Am I precious to you? Well, what words do I want here? But I think you know what Christ is asking here. Do you love me? Am I everything to you? By the way, we live in an age when the word love probably must be one of the most popular words in the English language. And yet I should guess myself it's probably less known now, really understood and appreciated, than in times past. What do I mean? Every pop song's got it in. But my friend, the love that Christ is talking about, because he explains it very fully in other places, the love that Christ is talking about is not that gushy, sentimental, emotional, warm feeling merely. I mean, there is that element to it, but that's not what he means by love. If you really want to know what Christ means by love, then you better read John again, 13 to 17, or 13 to 16. If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Now, that's a bit more hard-nosed, isn't it? In talk, you see. Christ doesn't say, now, do you want to sing a nice chorus about loving me? No, no, not that. Do you love me, he says. Or are you going to obey me? I find it in Deuteronomy as well. This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and so on. That's the old covenant. But Christ is very strong in John 13 to 16. So is 1 John too. The apostle got it, because he kept saying it as well. Let us not love in word and deed, you know, in word and just talk, you know, and singing choruses or whatever it may be. So Christian, I'm talking to you. I'm believer, I'm not asking you, you're hearing me what I say to the believers. The believer who may be in a terrible state, but I'm asking you first of all, what is Christ to you? Do you love him? Yes, you say, well, I think I do. Well, will you obey him? Well, do you obey him? I remember, well, it must have been 40 years ago now. I smile as I think about it. My wife didn't exactly tell me off, but she spoke about it afterwards. I was in a strict Baptist church, and I was preaching, and I said, well, I'm in the strict Baptist church, but I said, some of you here are not strict Baptists. If you understand the word strict, it means restricted communion. That's
communion only for those who are baptized as believers and so on. We won't go into that now, but that's what the word means. Strict baptism and so on, communion and baptism. I said you're not strict as far as communion, because you don't break bread, because you haven't been baptized. So I said you're already strict Baptist. You're not baptized and you're not remembering me. But Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And he also commanded baptism. See, there's just two commandments. But this is just a venture, my friend, is it? If you know the text. It's just a shot at random. I don't know who I'm speaking to. You're a believer. Are you baptized? Well, I'm thinking about it. Why? Well, I like Christ to tell me. Well, he has, because he's in the Bible. If you doubt it, we have a talk afterwards. In 2 seconds, we can see it. But there are other commandments too. I'm not being silly, but if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Do you love me? I must leave it there, but there's a depth of world in that, but it's beyond me. So what more can I say upon it? Love for Christ. You know, not just liking him, loving him. Let's move on to one of the others. 4 words. Do you love me? How about me? Huh? Now I said the words are going to get easier. Actually, they get harder. See, he doesn't say, do you love doctrine? See, now I do, actually. I'm very fond of it. I can explore it all day long. I love seeing the intricacies of how these things fit together. And I believe it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I did a bit of science when I was a younger man. And I think scientific people can explore what's in nature, and it's wonderful because God has created there. And doctrine to me is like that. I did a bit of maths at one time, and I think mathematics may be boring to a lot of people, but to me there was lots of symmetry and beauty and order in it. And so on. But here the text is, do you love me? Lord, I like preaching. I'm not asking that. Lord, I like... I like doing some writing for you. Yeah, that's good, but I'm not asking about that. Lord, I like the church, and I like doing things in the church, and yeah, that's pretty good, you know, but I'm asking, do you love me? My friend, if you want to know what the Christian religion is, it's Christ. See, it's Christ. Christ is all, says the New Testament. Christ is everything. Don't judge Christianity by what you see on the pulpit today. Or what you see in the pews or chairs. Don't. Judge it by Christ. Christ is the real thing. And Christ puts Peter on the spot. And he puts me on the spot when he asks this question. There's many things around Christ that I can talk about. You see, we could talk about Calvinism, and we could talk about baptism, we could talk about this and that, but Christ says, what am I to you? What am I to you? You're going to go and serve me. You're going to preach, and you will baptize and see 3,000 converted, and you baptize them. Yeah, wonderful. But do you love me? Me. Lord, this is my chief complaint, that my love is weak and faint. That's the love business. But there's another complaint as well. Lord, I love not quite you, but very close to you, just by the side of you. When I go walking on the common at Bigsway, there's an archery club, and they've got this thing, you know, these targets. But there's something in the middle. Christ says, I'm in the middle. You know, the arrow is on, you get a point, that's good. But do you want the bullseye? It's me. Me. Comment Lloyd-Jones made many years ago to ministers in the meeting he used to have with them. And it stays with me. I wasn't there, but I've read it. You know, he was talking about the time comes when age and infirmity takes over and a man can no longer do what he used to do. And he made the point to the preachers there, what will it be like when you can no longer preach? It's a searching thing for preachers. You know, our Sundays are spent preaching, and our weeks are spent perhaps preparing or whatever it may be. When all that's gone, what's left? Well, Christ must be left. Christ must live upon him. Unto you believe he is precious.
Lord, make you yourself precious to me. Can you see the searchingness of this? Do you love me more than these? Now, I don't know quite what that means. Is it more than the other disciples? Is it more than the fish? Whatever it may be. But it's a searching question. Do you love me? Me? How about you? That's what he asked. Do you? I'm not asking about the other seven or six, whatever it is. I'm not asking about John or this. I'm asking about you. See, there's a little personal preaching today. But Christ, he's a questioner, as I pointed out to you before. And now he's, as I pointed out before, he's also most personal. Do you think as a group? No, you. What do you say, Peter? I don't need to ram that home, do I? It comes to me. It comes to me more than you. I preach to thee. I got an answer for the preaching and the hearing. You've only got an answer for the hearing. But you have heard, my friend. Do you? Simple little sermon. You can't miss it, can you? Oh, do you love me? What can you say on do then? Huh? Do. Well, I'll tell you what I will say on do. If you talk to some people and you start talking to them about religion, they'll be talking away like 19 to the dozen. No, my friend, it's Christ, not religion. Do you love me? Okay, right, we got. But another thing I've noticed is that some people, when you start talking to them, they'll say, yeah, 50 years ago, I remember, we went to a meeting and it was, I can tell you, I'll bring Christians here to do this for you. And 50 years ago, it was like this. And we had that experience and we used to do. My friend, I'm not talking about did. Christ didn't say did. You're as good and I'm as good as I am now. Do. Not even will. Some of you might say, well, I think I'll go out and I'll pray about this. No, my friend, do. Present tense. Now, here. Dead easy sermon, isn't it, to preach? Dead easy sermon to hear. Except when we take it home to our hearts. Do I really love you, Lord? I don't know what more I can say upon it. I don't need to think I need to say much more upon it. May God's Spirit take it up in our hearts and write it there and draw a response from us that we do love Christ and we want to please him and we want to be devoted to him. Even when I can't preach anymore, may he still be even more then, even more precious to me. When I can't speak a word in his name, my voice is gone. May he still be precious to me in my heart. May he be increasingly precious to me. This is what I want. Well, I can't find better words than our last hymn. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Do you find sometimes a tune gets in your head and you find yourself singing it in the week? Well, I hope this tune gets in your head, my friend, and I hope it gets in my head, and I hope the words come back again and again. Hear me singing to Christ, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Shall we sing it together now then and close this service? I think the hymn is number 668, yes, 668. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine.